It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Good to have y'all here. Good to be with my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
Always good to be with you, Sean.
You know, we got that marine forecast in the mix, and it's got a text during my midday mobile show this last week. Somebody said, you'd be cool if y'all had marine forecast. And I said, well, we might get them throughout the rest of the week, but we've been doing it on this outdoor show with Dr. Bill, marine forever. Forecast forever.
Yeah.
So just one of the umpteen things that makes us different, I guess, out there that gets you a marine forecast as well.
And speaking of that, this past week was a wonder. Boy, the water was great this past week. Less than 1 foot seas, I think, Wednesday,
it's making
Thursday.
Up for the previous couple weeks.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's not supposed to be that way yesterday or today, but
of
anyway,
course not, because it's a weekend. Of
that's
course
right.
not. That's
what. But earlier in the week, it was time to go if you could have gone.
Yep. Well, and then there's the weekend.
That's right.
See. Yeah. Well, so, but listen, as long as it gets it out of its system before May 24th,
yeah.
Snapper season opens, I'm good.
You know, and snapper season's open in Louisiana, opened April the 15th in
gotcha.
Louisiana.
But they also, yeah, and you can open at the different times as you mm-hmm. use the quota. And Louisiana, you've talked about, they have, you know, more fish, more days.
But they don't have the
number of people that snapper fish.
That's right. They do not.
So if only, you know, with the quota here, if only 15 of us snapper fished here.
That's right.
It would never, you know, we would never. And the quota, and we'll get Colonel Bannon on here before season starts, but I think it's around 590,000 pounds, I think,
here.
Is where we are. Yeah,
here.
For Alabama.
In Louisiana, I think it's 900 and something thousand,
yeah.
I think.
Almost, I think about they have almost, a lot more.
Yeah, almost coast. A million. A lot more coast, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can catch four fish per person. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
And they're fishing 7 days a week, too.
Right. But if they all of a sudden had the per capita number of people snapper fish over there that they do here.
Yes, it'd be different.
They go through it a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll get into that. But, yeah, 590,000, you know, around there. Maybe it's up to close to six. But I think it's 590. But we'll talk about that going through the month of May as we get ready for snapper season. I know amberjack season open up.
Yep.
So you got that in May.
Yep.
You got amberjack season opening up by Alabama and Mississippi.
I can't remember. Is the triggerfish opening too?
A second here, Mike, and remind folks here as we recommend apps over
that's
time.
Right. That's right.
If you go to your Fish Rules app
that I told you about on
your phone, which this app, Fish Rules, and if you'll use this, it's great because it's going to use your GPS location and tell you. So if you're traveling to another state, if you were traveling to, you know, yeah, but you're in Florida, you're in Louisiana, it's going to figure out where you are, and it's going to tell you the regulations there, which I think makes us, like, I'm about to plug to another product here in a second. I have no incentive other than tell you what I like, and the Fish Rules app is good to me because if I'm over in Louisiana, I'm in Mississippi, I'm in Texas, I'm in Florida, it's going to say, okay, here's where you are by your GPS, here are the rules in that state. Right?
That's right. So, yeah, exactly right.
So have you found it?
I'm almost there, I think.
Yeah,
I'm in the S.
Yeah, it's going to be after sharks.
Yeah.
y'all just stand by one minute.
Yeah, just hang on a second.
Anybody want to take a bet? And by the way, it's this show, you know, if you're hearing this down the road or, you know, we're doing this here at the end of April 2024. Because I don't want somebody to say,
fish.
I was hearing the show and they said such and such. Because people listen to the show, you know, years later, too, so.
Now, here it says open.
Okay.
Bag limit one.
Mm-hmm.
15-inch minimum size, fork length measurement, and it's in a 20 fish aggregate.
Yeah. But it's
per person. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in the aggregate limit, but it's still one.
One per person. Yeah.
Right. So, triggerfish open now. That means, you know, you've got triggerfish and amberjack in May to chase, and then, of course, when snapper, not of course, but it. The way I think it works out every time is about time snapper season opens. Sometimes we get an overlapping weekend where trigger and amberjack are still in when snapper opens,
but not always. And it will be because it's going to close June the 1st.
Okay, so we'll have that Memorial Day weekend. Trigger will still be open.
Trigger, amberjack,
and snapper. Okay, it happened, I know, 2 years ago like that. I don't know if it happened last year like that, but that's good. I mean, that's
yes.
the one trip a year where you can try to get the old triple play.
That's right. You know, so, one weekend.
Yeah, one weekend. Yeah, we'll talk more about that going forward.
That's right. So how's your turkey season so far?
It's been good. You know, I killed those couple. You and I, you've killed two.
I've killed two.
I've killed two. I've guided some folks out there that we've had some close calls with folks getting into the sport.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like I said last week, I think somebody said they heard that story. Somebody said, who was that? And I told them who it was. And they, oh, gosh, where I didn't ever tell the guy to shoot.
Right.
Yeah, I called the bird in, but I did not. It's on me because I never said shoot him.
That's right.
I'm just, you know, I've been doing this so long that
I'm thinking he's going to shoot any minute.
Yo, I was already tensed up for the shotgun blast. Yeah. But birds are still gobbling like crazy. Of course, I've done what I'm not supposed to do. I've got hung up on one particular bird, letting other birds gobble that I could probably have a better chance on, but I'm obsessed with a pasture bird.
Yeah.
And he has straight up made a fool of me for a long time now. And for going on a week.
And look, that's the fun part of hunting.
I love
turkeys.
Hunting him. He gobbles like crazy, but he stands his ground. Even though my hens are real scarce to find a hen right now on nest. But he's still so sure in his style, his fan, his strutting, his gobbling, that eventually a hen's going to come running out there to him. He just does not break. He does not break. He will eventually. I hope it's during season when I'm there. But he's one of those, you've had those gobblers too, that'll be like, get 150 gobbles out of this bird.
That's right.
But he ain't coming.
You're going to come to me. I'm not coming to you.
That's right.
I'm the stud over here.
Right.
Don't forget that. And if you want me, you got to come to me.
Because sometimes that bird who acts like that in early April, late March, early April, by this time of year, kind of forgets that. But this old boy hadn't forgotten it. He's still pretty sure that he's worth her coming to him. So he stands out there, and of course, I'm just obsessing on techniques and places. And I'm close to Mike. I'm close to digging a hole. Okay,
I'm out in the middle, right where he struts.
That's right. I mean, I'm not. I am ashamed to admit it, but I'm going to tell
you
the truth.
With a front end loader, go on out there and dig it up.
I'm going to dig a hole and blind up in there and get in there about, you know, it gets light about 5:30. I'm going to get there about 4:50. Get down the hole. Be ready. Shotgun laid over there. I don't know that I'm really do this, y'all, but this is how frustrating this bird's been. And I'm thinking about digging this hole in the middle of the pasture and setting up.
You could put a blind out there. Oh, and let it just sit there.
And my buddy and I talked about
that.
Yeah. Because you know, you put it up, it becomes, I mean, I have turkeys, you know, I was on a hunt the other day that I was going, well, if he comes in this way, I'm gonna have to let him clear the John Deere tractor to shoot him.
Yeah.
So he was in the barn, you know. Turkeys get used to anything that sits still.
That's right.
But it's just more exciting to dig that pit and then he'll never
Then it's going to rain.
Yeah, then it'll be sitting in there in the water. That's what's going to happen to me.
But that's right.
But yeah, so how's yours been since we talked last?
You know, I had the worst weekend, I guess, last weekend that I've had. I didn't do anything. I went and hunted. I only got like 150 acres that I'm hunting.
Yeah, but Mike's got some turkeys.
Yeah, well, I have in the past, you know, but they don't have as many this year as I've had in the past. But I've heard some on the south end that I haven't hunted. I've heard a couple of them gobbling down there. Of course, I go down there. And they don't gobble, you know, or they're not there, one
right,
or the other.
Right, right.
You know, and I hear one gobbling up north, so by the time I get up there, he shuts up, and then the ones on the south start gobbling.
It sounds like my turkeys have talked to your turkeys finally. Now you live my life. Yeah. Usually it's like good stuff works out for Mike. Now you're dealing with the
I know it is terrible, and then I do something that I don't normally do. I get up and go back down to the south, and then they shut up.
You're acting like me now.
And I don't do that normally. You know I don't. I normally go, and I sit up, and hey.
Mike kills a lot of turkeys because he stays right there. But now
I'm like that gobbler in your pasture out there.
Right.
You're going to come to me.
Sooner or later,
you come to me.
Do you think this is a problem that you and I have hung out too much, that you now get up and gone to those other birds?
I'm a bad influence. It's your fault.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that was on Friday. I hunted Friday and Saturday. Saturday, did not hear a turkey gobble. I mean, like Friday, I heard probably six or eight or so turkeys gobbling off in the distance, you know. And Saturday, I never heard a turkey gobble. I went ahead and sat up where I normally hear turkeys, see turkeys, whatever. Never heard one. Stayed there to 10:30 in the morning. And normally I can hear one a mile.
Yeah, you can. You got good ears.
I can hear them way, way off. And I never heard one even go pop, 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 pop. You know, nothing. Way off, nothing. It was a strange morning for me. It's like 65 degrees, kind of a dreary. It wasn't raining, but kind of a overcast, kind of a dreary day.
Right.
Zero wind. It was a just a strange day. But well,
you would have thought, I mean, it doesn't sound like the best day for gobbling, but you'd hear a couple on the limb.
One or two. Yeah, on the limb, something. Yeah. But I had other people tell me they gobbled like crazy. I heard a bunch of them. So why they didn't gobble around me, I don't know.
Well, you and I have talked about that before. We had that experience when you and I were hunting together earlier in the season. We had a lot of goblin. Not a ton for your place, but it was a good hunt. Good hunt. We had goblin. And we talked to somebody else nearby who not that far as crow flies, who's got a bunch of turkeys, who didn't hear any.
That's right.
So,
it's weird how that works, but, you know, don't get frustrated. They're there.
Yep.
They just didn't gobble for some reason. But I'm going to get back after them tomorrow.
Yep, me too. Gonna do the same. By the way, too, you see, I did an unboxing. You know that stuff they do on YouTube where they open up packages? It's called unboxing. Like, oh, look what I got. So I kind of did an unenveloping. Here I got my new Call wallet from Houndstooth.
Wait a minute, you got two of them.
Yeah, because they were on sale, so I bought two.
Oh.
Maybe one's for you.
Did you get one from me?
Yeah, I did. You want that one?
Sean.
Yeah, there you go.
Sean.
There you go. There's your gift. So this is
gum, man. You would do that for me?
Yeah, and see, Mike doesn't need all. This has six slots, which is not enough for me, but Mike needs two of the slots. Yeah, I have, the call. I'm just keeping my yelpers, my mouth yelpers.
I buy more now.
That's right.
I put more calls in there now. I usually just have two in my pocket, but now.
I'm very excited to get this show over with, Mike. So two things I can, number one, just to at least go put some calls in this wallet.
There you go.
Maybe also go turkey hunting. All right, we'll shift gears a little bit from the turkey woods to catching old green trout with Captain Wade Miller. This time of year, man, it's bass fishing on the brain for a lot of folks.
Got to be good.
It's 365 for Wayne, so we'll check in with him coming up next. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have y'all along. And there's a lot of people who celebrate. Number one, we celebrate because he's our friend and we love talking to him. And those people that don't turkey hunt said, oh my God, please, can somebody get on that show and get Sean and Mike to quit talking about turkeys? And probably this guy's pretty expert in it. He's been doing it for years with us. Captain Wayne Miller joins us now. Hey, Captain Wayne. Oh, there you are. I had to press the right button. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You gonna make the people happy and get us to shut up about turkeys and talk about something else?
I tell you what, man. I know a lot of turkey hunters, so I think it's been in swing now for about a month.
Since March 25th, I think opening day. So yeah, we're at a month. Yeah, right here at a month. You know, I bet you you're a big fan of turkey hunters the same way you and our buddy and your buddy Captain Bobby Abrascato is too, because it keeps us out of your way for a little bit longer out there bass fishing.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden you're
I love all the turkey hunters. They just more people staying off the water. So it's we're in a good place right now with the Delta guys. It's our water has finally dropped back down. I think the Mobile reading today is like around 4 feet, a little bit lower. But, all the rivers have fallen down. And, from the standpoint of water temperature, we're looking at like the mid-70s. So even though the air temperature really seems hot, I mean, we've had some hot days this week.
We have.
That water temperature is still relatively cool. So, these fish are really active. So, I mean, it's a good scenario we've got unfolding right now here on the Delta.
That's I wanted so that temperature. You said the water temperature is where was it? 70?
Yeah, in the mid-70s.
What does that mean for? Because you've told us too. Like we started asking these questions in January about bass spawn. You said, yes, some February, yes, March, yes. It's not just it's going to be February. It's going to be March. You said that you're getting bass spawns every month. So is that temp?
Right.
Is there a temp where they stop, because I guess when that started with them spawning, the water was probably 10 degrees colder or more, but now 75, they're still, were they still spawning full moon?
That's one reason, one reason the fishing is so good right now is because we indeed have fish at every stage in that process. In other words, we've got fish that spawned, a couple of months ago. Well, you know, they're completely off those beds. But because of the water temperature, I mean, they have not migrated back out to deep water. So we've got fish that are moving up to come up to spawn. We've got fish that are on the beds. I mean, we just came off a full moon. I think it was like on the 23rd.
That's right. That's so, what I was going to ask you, leading into that full moon. And, you know, did you see a lot of spawning activity on that, which would be the April full moon?
Yeah, I mean, we saw another significant wave, you know, move in and spawn. So, you know, that's just a, man, I mean, a perfect scenario because you've got fish in all these different stages. And a lot of times you can catch these females especially, and you can tell when they've been on that bed. I mean, they get pretty depleted. And, you know, I mean, it really takes a lot out of them. But, you know, once they're through with that process, I mean, they put the feed bag back on. And, you know, so, and, you know, the great thing about that, all these different, you know, fish in these different stages, you know, they're all of them are relatively in, you know, what I would consider shallow water, anywhere from, you know, 6 foot and shallower. So, you know, they're real accessible by power fishing techniques. And, you know, that's one reason we see right now, you know, the chatterbait is doing really well. We're catching a lot of fish on spinnerbaits. You know, and you still have to pull out, you know, the plastic occasionally. And I've been doing really well on the lizard. You know, of course, I throw a lizard here year round.
Yeah, you the lizard king, the lizard wizard.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. I tell people this, you know, I live in Satsuma. And I don't think there's a month in the year that I don't go out and turn the light on in my carport. And there's lizards on the walls out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have lizards everywhere on this delta. So, you know, I think, you know, they're so numerous. I think it one reason they really work well, you know, on bass all over the delta here.
Are you fishing a lot of grass right now?
Yeah, Mike.
Or are you fishing wood?
You know, I'm fishing primarily grass. And, man, I tell you what, I don't know if y'all have had a chance. I know with the turkey hunting and everything else, y'all are spread pretty thin. So I don't know how much time y'all spent out on the delta. But I tell you, it's really encouraging when you go in the bays, when you go in the creeks, and even out on the main rivers. I mean, over the last couple of years, we've seen such a resurgence of vegetation. You know, and I mean, it's all different types of grass, but, you know, bottom line is it really adds to the fishery. I mean, you're not just bass, it's a benefit
for everything.
All species.
That's right.
And, now one challenge that you have with that is there are some areas, you know, and with these 80, all pushing almost 90 degree days, man, some of these, you know, creeks and little bays, you can go in there and it's almost like you watch that grass grow. So, you know, they top out. Those places will top out really quick. And when I say that, what I mean is the vegetation actually grows completely to the surface. So then you've got a whole different scenario from the standpoint of trying to approach that if you want to fish that area, because you can't just go along there and throw a spinnerbait or a chatterbait. You know, now there's key points, you know, on that vegetation that will hold fish, but a lot of times you have to change techniques. I mean, you'll have to go to a top water, or you may have to put on a heavier weight and punch, you know, through mats in the grass. So, you know, as we transition to summer, it opens up a lot of new patterns, and a lot of that is just because, you know, some of that water accessibility is completely shut down by that the growth of that aquatic vegetation.
I mean, is it getting all the way across the whole creek growing up, or are you able to still get in the creeks okay?
You know, most of the creeks, you still get in them. But, you know, you have a really clear, defined, you know, grass edge coming out. And that's good.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, especially when you have times of tidal movement, you know, that gives those fish ambush point. You know, and even on days where, you know, we don't have cloud cover, you know, a lot of times those fish will set up right in the edge of that shade. So, you know, it's a scenario where, you know, like I say, sometimes you have to alter the way you've been fishing. But, you know, I am really excited to see this vegetation come back on the Delta. And I think we've seen it. You know, we've seen the benefits of that over the last couple of years, because I can tell you, you can ask any of the guys that tournament fish here, and there's tournaments every weekend, obviously, but we've seen a tremendous increase in the average size of fish, and a lot of those are fish that are coming from the middle and the lower Delta. So, you know, it's, you know, we see the benefits of that vegetation over time.
I know, like Briar Creek in Reynolds Lake, I mean, at one time it was full of grass, and then all the grass went away. Has the grass come back to those places?
Yeah, a lot of it has. Now, you know, in Briar it has. Now, Reynolds is still, you know, it's got a lot of grass in it, but it's not anywhere like it was. I mean, Mike, you remember when it was basically you had a boat lane to run up.
That's
there.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
it
right.
It was absolutely incredible. You know, and the, you know, the great thing about that, I mean, that's an enormous lake.
It is.
But the great thing about it, when that vegetation was in there that thick, I mean, you were fishing it, you know, I mean, you can tell people that place was a fish. I mean, it was a nursery of, you know, I mean, it was incredible.
Everything.
The number of fish that
that's
were
right.
in there. And you know, all sizes. I mean, you caught a lot of small fish, you know, 2-3 pound fish. And then there were so many tournaments that used to be won out of there, because you could go in there and, I mean, it wasn't anything to catch, you know, those 3-5 pound fish. And those are really solid fish on a tidal brackish fishery.
Oh, those are monsters. You know, the grass is just good for everything. I mean, you got all your shrimp and your crabs, and everything lives in that grass and survives in the grass.
Yeah.
You know, all
yeah.
your...
Well, you know something that's amazing. You know, I was telling a friend of mine this past week, here in the Middle Delta, I was fishing some of the creeks. And on up in the day, I started, you know, just flipping and pitching with plastic. And I was catching quite a few fish, you know, just a Texas rig, you know, worm. And a bunch of those fish, when I would flip them up in the boat, you know, they would throw up, you know, those little crabs, those
yep.
little quarter-sized crabs. And, man, I mean, that is such a key element.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of the food chain here on this delta.
Yeah, it makes a difference, I know, and we'll come back from the break, because you've often talked about the colors you prefer with some baits and all that, and you're like, yeah, because it looks like a baby crab. All right, coming right back, more Captain Wayne Miller right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Reminder, too, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Put that on there, and check us out there. Make sure to like that page. Be right back. Welcome back to a Bull Gnat Chat.
Bull Gnat? What are you talking about, Bull Gnats, man?
Captain Mike Ward and Captain Wayne Miller. It's bull, yeah, no, just y'all were talking during the break about Bull Gnats. And
Bull Gnat season, Ian?
Yeah.
How many of them can you kill a year?
Wayne, I don't know how many can you kill a year. What's your limit on Bull Gnats?
I'll tell you what, man. They will make you go home and watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
There is no limit on bull gnats. Let's get that straight now.
Yeah, they're
you
can get as many of them
right,
as you
Mike.
Want.
That's right, buddy.
I talked to a friend about a week or something ago, week and a half ago. He said, hey, do you, because, you know, I used to hunt so much on the management area and there in the river swamp along the Tom Bigby, and I love the river swamp dearly.
Yeah.
And he said, do you miss turkey hunting down there like you used to? I said, no. I said, two words, bull gnat. That's why, you know, yeah. I still love open bottomland, hardwoods, hunting turkeys in it, or, you know, and crossing sloughs and going to turkeys. I love all that stuff. But the bull gnats, yeah, I'm happy in the piney woods.
They come out of that mud.
Yep.
You know, is what they say. They come out of that mud. And once the temperature gets up to a certain, you know, like 85 or whatever degrees and stays there for a certain amount of time, they say they go back in the mud. But
Well, yeah, by the time you get into summer, you know, yeah, peak of summer, yeah, you don't really have them much.
Right.
But, and while we're doing this too, a chance for people, Buggins Natural.
Yep.
This is at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes.
Yep,
this
we
is
sell Buggins Natural. It's one of the first things that I knew of that would keep bull gnats off of you.
Yep.
You know,
you sold me on it when I hunted the river swamp, and I product tested that 10, 12 years ago, and I said, okay, this works.
That's right. You just spray it on you, and about every 45 minutes, you have to kind of refreshen it up a little bit. If you get one kind of want to stay on your head for a second, you just spray a little more on there. But that's been the best stuff that I've found that I've used so far.
Probably good for bass fishermen, too.
Oh, bass fishermen, they come in the store all the time.
I keep a bottle of it in my boat, man. Yeah. It really works good.
Well, it's for bull gnats and also for no-see-ums. All those. Right. I mean, it's good for both of them. And, you know, the no-see-ums, golly, they get really bad when you start fishing south of Mobile Bay or in Mobile Bay and Randolph and Island. They get bad.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're just trying to run people off.
Yeah.
hey, wait. I would have. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, talk about Neil's.
Yeah. Neil Johnson's got these patches, too, that you can put on your hat. And when the bull gnat gets around your hat, it's like a sticky pad.
Yep.
And the bull gnat's a stick to it. So you can buy those, too.
Yep. So and then you get to see your tally. You get to count how many killed that day.
Yep.
They're stuck to the patch. And. Let's see. So I know you can get those at takedatnat.com. So let me spell that for y'all. T-A-K-E, take, and then dat, D-A-T, instead of that, take dat, and then nat, G-N-A-T. So takedatnat.com, and you get those patches. Maybe something else to give you a little bit of peace when you get buzzed on.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you earlier, you're talking about this time of year, talking about how the grass is coming back, but I know it's a little bit late, or is it too late? I'm going to ask you, you know, there's that fishing that I grew up doing, bass fishing on the causeway, just north of the causeway. I call it drift fishing. You know, we drift those big bays, throwing sallies, is water get up over the grass a little bit and we drift. Is that still going on? That kind of just drifting the bays, or is it starting to get too clogged?
Yeah, you can still do some of that, but
it's getting too high.
It's quickly coming to a close because, you know, like I say, the vegetation is really growing, getting thick. You'd be hard pressed to do it with spinnerbaits and stuff.
Okay, so I missed it for this year. That was always one of the fun things. You get a little bit of a higher tide or a bull tide and drifting.
The grass wasn't all the way up to the top. And
right.
You could just throw spinner baits or buzz baits or whatever across top of that grass.
And half the time we were doing it, we didn't have a trolling motor, so it was the way we could do it, right? We get an angle across with the wind and just drift and then go make a big loop and do it again.
That's right. I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
It's still a great time of year to get in those situations, and you can drift, even pull your trolling motor up if the wind's not too bad so that it's not really blowing you hard, and fish like a trick worm, weightless, or a buzz bait, over that grass, and catch a lot of fish doing that.
Then I'm going to go from right there on the causeway to pick your brain about another thing. I like to catch bass. I think all three of us really like to do this too. Mobile River's down at 4. Did you get to fish any runouts? You get to fish up the river any, or you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I didn't on this last fall, but the good news is now, with the rivers getting down like they are, obviously, you have magic days when those runouts are just right. But, you know, you have to be there that day.
And maybe I need to stop. Time. Yeah, I should have set that up better. What we're talking about for folks here. I just said run out. We all know what we're talking about. But what are we talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, up the rivers, you know, when you have the water falling on the main rivers, like typically we look at the Barry steam plant reading. And, you know, as we see that start to fall, you know, typically what you'll see is a correlation where you have both the Alabama and the Tombigbee River falling also. So all these rivers are falling. Well, as they're pulling that water out of the swamps, out of those crawfish flats, then, you know, I mean, there's just literally hundreds of thousands of acres of that water. But, you know, there's key points along these main rivers where when that water gets down, you'll have like a ditch or, you know, a drain, and it'll be pouring out of there. And what happens in that scenario is those fish, you know, they pull out of the woods and they get out on those main bodies of water, but they'll still set up and stay right there where those drains are. And the reason for that is it's just like a buffet. I mean, yeah. They've got crawfish, they've got crabs, they've got everything you can imagine draining out of those woods. Yep. So for a few days while that water is draining out and pouring into that main tributary, you know, you've just got a absolute situation where you can pull up there and just smash them, because typically when you find those ditches loaded like that, you can catch just incredible, both numbers and quality.
It's a darn fun, y'all. If you could ever get yourself in that situation, it is, you know, it's not like you said, you got to have special conditions. You can't say, well, we're just going to go on Tuesday, it's going to happen. It's not, you know, it depends on the river and a bunch of things. But when you find it and you get to do that once, it'll always be in the back of your mind. You look at that river falling going, if I could go get up there and get in that spot, it sure is fun.
Yeah, but you know what? The deceiving thing about that is most people think and they associate that particular pattern with a big creek. And some of the best ones you'll ever find are relatively small.
Yeah.
I mean, they may not be, you know, it may not be 3-4 feet across.
Yep.
So,
yeah, if y'all look at
when you're running up or down these rivers, what you have to do is, is don't go so fast and pay attention. And man, if you see a spot where you've got black water,
that's what I was going to say. Yep.
Mixing with stained water in that main tributary. Oh my goodness! Yep. Do not run by that.
Yeah, it's and you'll see. Yeah, you can go. You know, and what to go. You know, the topography for a little bit, y'all. You know, we've talked about this in the past that. The river bank is usually the highest in the bottomland. It's the last place to flood.
Right.
And as the water comes down, there's more water back behind the bank, and it's got to find a way out. And these places like Wayne is talking about, these are the places where that water is, as the river level's gone down, this water's beaten that same level and it's drained out of the woods. But it's been sitting still and gotten to be clear, not clear, but it's gotten to be, like you said, it can be. I've seen it from coffee to tea.
A lot clearer than the river water.
Yeah, a lot clearer than the river water.
Yes.
And, that's probably the best telltale. When you see that color change in the water, you know what that is. And it can be. Man, that's good. Let's go. I'm ready to go.
Well, you know where there's a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. You can go fish one for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever, and then when it slows up, go hit another one. And then when it slows up, go hit another one. Then come back to the one that you started with and they'd be turned on again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, even though, you know, people may pull up there and catch some fish off of them, it will reload.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there'll be more fish pulling there on it.
No, I think my picture, I have no idea, but my guess has always been that, like, they're waiting in line. Like, there's some bass that are they're off the bank, some more that are sitting there and going up and, you know, like in shifts. And as you catch these couple and, you know, disturb them, you move on. And the next bunch goes, all right, we're here now, and they're waiting for you to get back.
Well, I think the best day I've ever had in the Delta was fishing those sloughs draining. That was the best fishing I ever had, and I wore them out that day. I'm talking about killed them.
Let me throw this in the mix too, because we're talking about just bass, but what I've done too is I have worn out the brim, bull brim on those.
Right.
Yeah.
The bull brim in there.
Everything's feeding
there. Yeah. And I'm sure there are catfish and other things, but I know that, I mean, pulled into one of those one time, and I think somebody was throwing a crankbait or something, caught a brim. And I went, okay. And started throwing beetle spit in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't hardly get the spinning reel engaged, and there's another big bull brim on there. So it was fun, too. So something else to check out.
It's all good.
All right. I want to do and I mentioned this earlier, but we're going to go to the break here in a second, but maybe we can do it real quickly. I mentioned at the end of the last segment that talking about the crabs and them spitting up the crabs, that means the color you like to throw. If we're throwing it down on the causeway, what's that color combination that's crab-like?
You know, typically what I try to stay with is the blue, you know, or June bug type hue on color. And, you know, and that for me has always worked really well here.
There we go. All right, coming right back, more with Captain Wayne Miller right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Man, I want to go fishing. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, the award-winning FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
How about that?
As awarded by the Alabama Broadcasters Association. We'll keep that flame going as long as we can. And talking to our buddy, Captain Wayne Miller. And Wayne, before we go any further, too, somebody wants to go check out whether it's fishing, you know, runouts when its conditions are right, or fishing down on the causeway, bass fishing with a good heaping load of redfish mixed in as well. How do they get in touch with you?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
And Wayne only fishes 364 days a year, so that's
that's about a fact.
Yeah, that is a fact. The redfish thing, we talked about it for a second, but you know, we're talking about during the news break there. You know, my portion of it, I don't spend any time fishing on the causeway like you do. And I mean, even when I was younger, I fished a bunch, but nothing like you do. But I tell folks, for me in the Delta, is these are the golden days of red fishing in the Delta. Growing up in the Delta fishing, we had redfish, but not, I mean, we had like spots. I had a spot on the Apalachee, you know, I had a spot over the Blakely. You go in there, you catch a redfish or two, you could do that. But the fact that, like, if people were bass fishing and they're getting redfish hitting their bass lures, I just don't remember that. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, it seems like that seems to be a big change going on there. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, as we were discussing it, Sean, I mean, I've got, you know, quite a few friends that spend, you know, almost as much time on the water as I do. And, you know, we share information. And it's just absolutely incredible the number of redfish that are, you know, that are caught, you know, in the middle and lower Delta, you know, this time of year. And you know, even earlier than this, you know, during the, you know, when the Delta's flooded and we're fishing up in these creeks, you know, I know that there's just tremendous numbers of them being caught. And, you know, and it's a wide range of, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, the size. You know, you catch a lot of, you know, small rat reds, but you'll catch some really nice ones too. So, you know, it's there's no shortage of them for sure. And, you know, it kind of breaks your heart when you're bass fishing, especially if you're in a tournament, when you stick one about 4 or 5 pounds and you think you've got a really monster bass on it, and then you realize, you know, it's a redfish.
Yep. So we're talking about redfish, that's something a little bit different, and that has really come back in the Delta. There's no doubt about it. It's way better fishing for redfish in the Delta today than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about the flounder? Have y'all caught any flounder?
You know, I haven't. I hadn't caught any so far this year, but on last year I saw, you know, a significant increase in the number of flounder, you know, from the year before. So
everybody,
you know, again, that's just strictly bass fishing in the middle and lower Delta. So
yeah, that's not,
you know,
exactly targeting them.
A significant increase in them also.
It's been, you know, is it a natural cycle coming back, or is it a what they've done for regulations or a combination therein? Either way, I'd like to stay with what we're doing right now in the state because we're seeing some benefits here.
You know? Yeah, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a combination of those, you know. But, you know, the beneficial thing about that is we need to recognize it and make sure we protect, you know, our fishery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, everybody, irregardless of whether or not you're, you know, a spec guy, you know, bass, whatever you do, you know, really pay attention to those limits. Pay attention to the size limits and you know, take care of these fish. Because, yeah. You know, the way you handle and manage the fish that you come in contact with, you know, every one of those makes a difference down the road.
I wonder if we'll be in a place, I don't think it'll be the same, but that I think we're tracking somewhat that way, where what happened with bass fishing will happen with other inshore salt species, you know, that that people start turning, I mean, people turn a lot of speckled trout loose that used to not, you know, and yeah. Will people turn some redfish loose that, because it's like, if you look back in the past, the idea that you'd turn all these bass loose, if we went back to 1950 or 40, that was crazy. You kept them.
That's right. You kept everything.
Right.
It didn't matter what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And today it's like the completely flipped around. It's the very rare occasion on public waters and in private lakes. We keep a bunch because we have to, but
yeah.
that you would keep bass. So I just wonder if we ever get to that point. And people say, oh, that's because bass aren't good to eat. Y'all are crazy. I can fry y'all some bass and knock your socks off.
Oh, bass is one of my absolute favorite fish.
Yeah, so, I mean, this idea that that's the reason. No, there was a culture change, right? Well, something happened and it stuck. It really is. It's worked.
It has.
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest challenge, I think, associated with that is just due to the magnitude of the delta. You know, there's a lot of people have, you know, the wrong idea, and they don't really see the resource from the standpoint of the fish, you know, as a depletable resource. And it indeed is. You know what I mean? You can overfish it. You know, you can deplete the numbers down to the point to where things get tough.
You know, I contribute the release of bass back to bass fishermen, the tournaments, releasing the fish. I mean, before I started fishing tournaments much, we kept everything. I mean, every time we caught them, we kept them. But then we started, you know, releasing them. People started saying we need to release them, so we started releasing them. And then when you'd keep them alive for the tournaments, and then once you brought them in for the tournaments, you'd release them alive. And, I mean, that just got people into the mode of really releasing the bass.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder if we get there.
You know, from the standpoint of bass tournaments, and I know a lot of people have a negative impression or opinion of bass tournaments, but I can tell you, Mike, two of the greatest things that ever came from competitive bass fishing, number one is indeed that, the conversation. Conservation of the fish.
Absolutely.
And then number two is it really got people into the habit of wearing PFDs.
Yep. Yes. Those are good points. Captain Wayne, we are done for this week, but we're going to do it again with you real soon. Appreciate you being on.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Thank you, Wayne.
We'll do. We always do. And we'll do it again next week for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.